Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome into the Under Center podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes, along with our Bears panel of experts, Matt Forte, Lance Briggs, and Alex Brown. So rough loss for the Bears today. They lose 38-31 to the New England Patriots. The game ends on Kevin White catching a ball at the one-yard line, not making it into the end zone. There's a lot of regret you heard from the locker room on that particular play, but it was all the things leading up to that play, which is probably why they lost. Lance, I'm going to start with you. What was the most disappointing thing about the loss?
A combination of things, but in particular, special teams. We mention special teams every week, and, you know, I know Alex does, and I know Forte feels the same way, you know, especially when you've been around a guy like Devin Hester and you've been around great teams with Tobe. But we mention special teams have had an effect on the game each week, and where you have an offense that may play well, defense may play well, and the special teams, you don't hear much from the special teams. Today we heard how special teams affected us in a negative way, in a huge negative way, because in a 14-point swing, the Bears would be winning this game.
The touchdown's one thing with Patterson, who made an incredible move. But, A.B., you were struck by how – and this has become a theme now – that there was a lack of effort on the punt block, where you have 5-6 Patriots just huddled around the ball and no Bear in the frame.
Initially, had they picked the ball up and scored initially, then I can see, okay, maybe a guy not getting in the picture. But after he drops the ball, he misses the first one, and they just kind of stop and pause for about a second and a half, and then nobody still shows up. The guy that got ran over, he's the one that knew it got blocked, so he should have showed up. At least,
but to their defense, they're not supposed to be looking back. You know,
the guy that got ran over. I'm not talking about everybody else.
I'm saying they probably was running down on coverage, and then, you know, they hear that. But the guy who got ran over and gave up the punt block, yes.
But don't you hear?
If they were already running down in coverage, well, damn it, that's why it got blocked. So they hadn't even kicked the ball. So that the ball got to be kicked first. That's the problem.
But you do hear. I've been on the punt team for the Bears, and I'm
– take off.
You've heard the double thump.
I heard the double thump. Well, I kind of knew it was, you know, it was my guy.
There you go.
I kind of knew it was
my
guy.
To my point.
I knew it could have been my guy or it could have been the guy next to me, but somebody just slipped by.
There's when a punt gets blocked or a field goal gets blocked, there's one person that knows
for sure. There's somebody
who knows.
The
guy that you're supposed to be blocking.
Yeah.
If he blocked it, you know it.
And there's a guy that knows that, okay, that guy that just went past me might You know what I mean?
And it's not like those six guys, or I think it was five guys, and then one was picking up. It's not like one of them was blocking somebody. No, they all were, like, huddled around the ball, and the one guy picked it up, and they kind of escorted him into the end zone. No Bear showed up.
It would be great if we could get a wide zoom to say, okay.
But, okay, I mean, that's just one play. That's one play. The guy can't get ran over. I don't know if his feet got caught up or what, but from what I saw, he's got ran over in the middle of the play. And it was it was a starting linebacker.
But even if
the starting linebacker
for
New England is one to block.
Ran over, you know you're getting ran over, and he can have a chance of blocking the punt.
Hold him.
Grab him.
Yes.
Tackle him.
Yes. Something. Because, well, I don't want to get a holding call. Really? You want to give up a touchdown?
Yeah.
You get a holding call, let's kick this again. Mm-hmm. You know, that's it. So, I mean, that's what you tell DBs when DBs get beat by receivers.
I saw a great holding call by one of the DBs today. And got a flag thrown on because that would have been a touchdown.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been
a
touchdown.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Do what you got to do.
Yes.
What happened with the Bears' pass rush? Now this is two games where they haven't really had consistent pressure. What's going on?
It's been put out like an old cigarette butt.
I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that simple.
No, it's been put out just because offenses are they doing a little short, quick passes to start the game with, and that is designed to neutralize the rush. Now, if you got your DBs and your linebackers and your safeties, you know, swarming to the ball good enough where that's not working, then you don't have to have that pass rush like that, and it's not going. They have to do something else.
I'd like to see how many of Tom Brady's 25 completions actually went further than 15 yards down the field, because a lot of those plays came out to the running backs out of the backfield, little short passes to receivers. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd like to see it, because you're not going to get a pass rush on those. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. Now, what I would like to see is some balls get tipped, because when you're throwing those little dink and dunk passes, I'd like to see somebody get their hands up and knock the football down.
Well, those seem to be an issue for the Bears so far.
Yes.
Where Brady throws for 277 yards, mm-hmm. has a passer rating of 108.2, but we also saw bad tackling again.
We did.
Yep.
We did.
What is going on? What's happened?
Do you guys notice, do you think that happens when guys leave their feet a lot? I think I see that a lot. Guys leave their feet tackling, and then a guy just – you know, breaks the tackle after that.
Ooh, Lord.
Breaking a tackle, that means you didn't wrap up. You got to wrap up. I don't care if you leave your feet or not. If you wrap the guy up, you're going to hang on to him. It's not like we're watching offensive linemen drag guys. We're watching guys hit them, bounce off, and they're not wrapping up. That's what we're seeing.
I've had problems
doing that. You got to wrap up.
I've had a lot of problems doing that.
There's nobody on this team.
I'm trying to thump. Sometimes thump don't always work.
Bop. Danny Trevathan. Right. Danny, you see Danny do a lot of what Lance did. He's trying to knock the joker out.
But he's not the problem.
He's not the problem.
Uh-huh. It's wrapping up.
Where we see it, honestly, is where guys that I've seen play well most of the year is in Amos and Eddie Jackson. Eddie J in particular. I've seen it too many times. I know for his liking, we've seen it too many times, him missing tackles the past 2 weeks. He got to correct it, because it's not – I don't think it's a problem for him, but I'm starting to think, okay, well, is this a problem? Because this is not him. This is not him. Right. This is not the Eddie J that I know and that I've seen play.
He's starting to let stuff creep in right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So get back to that fundamental of, you know, get the guy down when you need to get him down. And you get there, make the play when it needs to be. You said the right word,
fundamentals. I've seen a lot in this league that the good teams, they start out, you know, you go through camp, you start back at the basics, your fundamentals and all that stuff, and then it fades off. Mm. The great teams, they keep them fundamentals and they practice it during the season.
When you do
the little things, you pay attention to the details, it don't come back to bite you in the butt when the season gets long.
Okay, but Matt, then I got a big question about coaching. Because we've seen the two worst tackling games after a bye. Mm-hmm. That distresses me. If I'm a Bears fan, I'm going, well, wait, everything was great. You were 3-1. Everyone was feeling good about this team. You went to a bye, and then after the bye, you're not playing fundamental football? That's scary.
Yeah, and I don't know what to point the finger at, whether it's, you know, maybe the pass rush has something to do with that too, because guys aren't as open. They don't have time to get as open. So then when guys do catch the ball, it's bang, bang plays. Where they catch it and bow, they get tackled.
Yeah.
And when the guys are running open in space, it's a lot. I'm going to lie. You guys know it's hard to tackle somebody open in space. When I got the ball open in space, I'm not letting the first, maybe the second guy even bring me down. I'm trying to make those guys miss. I'm trying to go, you know, 60, 80 yards.
Yeah.
And you're doing that. I'm looking at angles.
Right.
When a guy's using his momentum's coming towards me, I'm trying to cut back to his weak shoulder because it's harder for him to tackle me. I'm going full speed. He's going full speed, but I'm cutting across his body.
I'm coming on the flip side, I'm sprinting as hard as I can because I want to reduce the amount of moves that he'll be able to have.
Exactly.
You know, I want to either stop his feet or I want him to make one cut. I might miss him, but I'm expecting
help.
Somebody else.
Yeah.
Right.
Expecting it. Because it's there. It has to be there. The guy that misses, I'm okay with you going and shooting your shot. Like, go ahead and attack the guy, attack the ball carrier on the right side so he goes back to your help. If you attack him on the wrong side, now he can get outside of you, and now he's running away from the help. Well, that does no good. That does the defense no good. So make sure you're attacking him where if you miss, He's going back to the help.
If your effort is right and you have 11 guys that are breaking to the ball, you have 11 guys that are breaking to the ball, you can play as fast and as hard as you can possibly play. Mm-hmm. And you can take your shot and you're going to be all right.
Somebody's going to be there.
Somebody's going
to
be there.
That was the worst. That was the hardest thing to play against, I guess, mm-hmm. as a defense that you know they swarm super fast mm-hmm. to the ball because I can make that first guy miss, maybe even the second, but you know you better get down mm-hmm. or yeah. you're going to either fumble
yeah.
or you're going to get you're gonna yeah. get You're going to be waking up.
Here come that yes. beach whale, boy.
You're going to be waking up the next yes. week.
Right.
Because you know somebody's coming. You can feel it.
Right. Exactly.
All right, we need to take a quick timeout. We haven't even talked about the offense and Mitchell Trubisky. We will do that next on the Under Center podcast.
For monster coverage of the monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
Welcome back into the Under Center podcast. Lawrence Holmes here with Matt Forte, Lance Briggs, and Alex Brown, your football after show crew. Matt, how did you think Mitchell Trubisky played?
I think he played at best average, maybe a little bit below, based off of the fact of, yes, he had a lot of rushing yards. He kept the offense going in that aspect, but a quarterback that I want to see, I want him to extend plays with his feet, not make rushing yards, but extend those plays like Russell Wilson does and make those throws where you kill a defense down the field because they can't cover that long. Mm-hmm. He just, you know, we're not going to make the playoffs or make a run for the Super Bowl by relying on his feet, you know, because the next week, that you know, the next team we play, the Jets coming up, they're going to look at this film and they're like, all right, next time he run, y'all better knock his head off. And, mm-hmm. and they're going to spy him or they're going to do something like that. So, but also, I mean, I'm going back to the decision making. You know, in the post-game interviews, they both, him and Nagy, never really alluded to the decision making of the interceptions. The
50-50 balls.
They kind of made a cop-out for saying 50-50 balls. Mm-hmm. When if a guy is open, it's not a 50-50 ball. You should throw it like the corner route to Anthony Miller. You should hit him on the run. He should have scored. He's open. He underthrew him. I've mm-hmm. seen that a lot this year. Mm-hmm. And then the one when he broke out of the pocket. Run out of bounds or throw that ball out of bounds. You know, that's – and then and Coach Nagy alluded to the other one being just like a punt. It's not like a punt because it's mm-hmm. a touchdown. It's not right. where – you know, if he makes it, it's a touchdown, and if he's not, oh, it's a punt. It doesn't work like that.
No, just, that's points, you know, off the board.
Alex,
yes,
you reacted to this in postgame. Nagy said about Trubisky, he was really good mentally. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that assessment?
On where he delivered the ball. Okay, so being good mentally doesn't mean he delivered the ball where it's supposed to be. It's he made the right decision to go to that place. So the underthrow to Miller could have been, I mean, he still could make a mental decision where he threw it to the right spot. He just underthrew the ball.
Right, so, guy, made the right read,
right.
Just physically didn't and, get
yes.
the throw right.
And when he makes those throws, the first down throw into the end zone where they dropped the interception, him understanding why he shouldn't have made that, I think Nagy is finding positives to keep Mitchell upbeat because, gosh, I see a lot, man, and I'm one of them. Like, sometimes I want to throw him to the Wolves, and I see a lot of Chicagoans that just want to throw him to the Wolves where 3 weeks ago they thought he was the next coming of Peyton Manning when he threw 6 touchdowns. But you got to keep it in perspective. So I don't think he played nearly as bad as the numbers say when you look at his completion percentage, because I think some plays he made was with his feet. That's him learning. Like, okay, don't force this ball in there. When I see that it's cover 2 man, let's run it because I'm going to get 8 yards before anybody touches me. So understanding that, maybe Nagy seeing that he didn't understand that maybe in training camp or in the first part of the season, and now he's understanding that he's seeing those defenses and he's making the right read. So that's what I hear when I hear Nagy say that.
But you have another red zone mistake
mm-hmm.
on mm-hmm. first down.
Mm-hmm.
You have a play where he rolls out. The play's pretty much over.
Yep.
And he makes the decision to throw the ball again.
Uh-huh. Yes.
On
that play, I think he should have kept it and just taking the 2 yards. But if you're going to throw it, where did he throw that ball? He got to keep that ball outside to the sideline. He threw it back into the field where the corner could get it.
So don't throw that ball.
or threw it to the sideline.
As right now, because he's either not ready or not good enough yet or not going to be good enough to throw that ball.
But he's here, okay? So he's here. If you want to throw, if you're in that situation again, you have to tell him what to do. You got to tell him, okay, well, this is where you should put that ball.
Basically, to answer the question, no, he wasn't really good at decision making. He was decent. He might have been decent.
He was not really good at decision making because he threw
two balls into the end zone that should have been intercepted, they were bad throws.
Understanding why.
But considering what happened last week, how is this applied learning?
But we're assuming that he knows it. Nagy's with him every day, and I don't think Nagy thinks that he's still learning this stuff. We're assuming that he should know it. And I think that's the wrong assumption. I think Nagy is with him every day. I think he's still learning it in Nagy's mind, that he's still learning all this stuff. Whereas we think, because we moved up in the draft to get him, because he was a second round pick, he should know it. He said,
hey, man, hey, that guy can throw 5 interceptions. He's still my guy. I think he's in that room with him and he's saying, hey, it's all right, man. You know, hey, it's all right. You saw this right here, you know, and no, it was a little bit of a bad throw, but hey, it's going to be all right. All right, we're going to get it right.
You know what he should say? He said, well, he did really good learning. He didn't have really good decision making, because it wasn't really good decision making.
Correct.
If he's learning from it, great job.
You're agreeing with him saying that his decision making has something to do with where he's putting the ball. That is ability. That's ability. No, that falls under the category of ability where you put the ball.
That one he threw to number 79, that was in the back, that one in the, on the first down, that's a bad throw. It hit the linebacker right in the chest.
Now, Nagy also said that out of 50 throws, there are going to be some that he made that were bad throws. He did say that, too.
But here's where I have the biggest issue, AB. Mm-hmm. This is another red zone issue. Mm-hmm. We saw that last week.
That's a critical situation.
Where he makes the throw in a red zone situation on first down. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is not a quarterback that learned something from last week.
But that, to me, also doesn't say that in that locker room or in that meeting room, Nagy isn't telling him, damn it, you can't keep doing this. You know? The fact that he keeps doing it, maybe that's him.
But that falls on Nagy, too. It falls on both of them. Because he can't, on first down, if he knows he has a consistent basis of throwing these crazy balls on first down in the red zone and having some picks and some drop picks, run the ball on first down, then you're closer, you get a more comfortable play where his decision-making is cut down, where I don't have to go crazy and, you know, read all these you got one or two reads.
That's his wheelhouse. But that's his offense. He keeps referring
to. It should be the offense.
This is a young quarterback, and it's in the first year of this offense. He keeps going back to that. I think he believes that it is all a learning process with Mitchell. That's what I think.
Is he giving away games, though, for the learning process?
I believe so. I believe he's not putting the team in the best situation to win games this year for that learning process.
If he's a young quarterback learning in this offense, he shouldn't be treating him like he's already grown in it. Because on first down, you got the confidence in him that, oh, yeah, he's got this under his belt. Like, he knows what he's supposed to do.
He's calling plays, right.
If you know he's a young quarterback still learning, you run the ball on first down.
He's not calling.
Second down and third down play call is a little different.
You take it out of his hands.
It's a safer play for the offense as a whole. It's not like you're just trying to protect the quarterback. It's safer for the offense as a whole.
Even now, we're harping on run it. I'm totally with you. Run it. But we don't see it. We can see the perfect situation come up, whether it was Seattle, whether it was going against Miami today, like getting Tariq Cohen. I think they got Tariq Cohen involved today and last week, which is the right decision because their linebackers have a hard chore trying to run after the little quick running backs. But it's a problem, or it's just not in their offense to pound the ball like we believe
not what he wants
they
to
should do it. I don't think that's what they want to do. That's not the offense.
But you're going to get to that time during this season. The temperature's already starting to drop where that is going to be necessary.
I understand that. I don't think it is sunny all the time in KC. And from what Coach Reed, who he learned from in Philly, it wasn't sunny all the time. I think they can evolve into that, but I think right now, they want to know what Mitch can do. That's what I think they're trying to figure out.
There's a big problem here with, because of it. With the run game. And we talked about this in the football after show. 19 carries, called carries. Mm-hmm. 19 carries for 53 yards. Mm-hmm. For the Bears. If we take out Trubisky's 81 rushing yards that he got off of scrambles, you had 12 carries for Jordan Howard for 39 yards, and Tariq Cohen had 6 carries for 14, and Taylor Gabriel had a run where they got no yards.
How many carries were in the first half, too?
I'd have to take a look.
Because I don't want to hear that talking about we got behind and we had to, you know, one-dimensional. Because the game wasn't, you know, 14 the whole game. They were up 17-7 at one point, mm-hmm. and they still were just throwing that thing all over the place.
Yes, but this team with those stats, I mean, maybe one could argue that this team's just not very good at running the football.
13 run called runs in the first half.
You don't put effort into it.
From experience,
if you don't
running
commit
the ball
to running.
Takes reps, a lot of reps too. And I had to tell Coach Tressman that when we were throwing the ball past half, when he first came in, I said, in the practice, we have to run the ball and able mm-hmm. to do it, to be able to do it in the game. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what kind of set you put it in, because I can run from the gun, I can run it, I can do whatever. But we have to actually take these reps so that the offensive line gets used to blocking these looks.
Boom. Yep.
And they get used to having combo blocks. If they know how to do it, that don't mean they're going to do it if you don't get the reps at it.
Right. No,
they're definitely not getting the reps. I don't know how their practice goes or how many run plays or how run periods they have.
They're
going
to keep making it tough on themselves.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Until that weather starts to really break and you're going to have to start nosing down. It's like, okay, we're going to have to get more reps at this.
Well, they were mid-30s. Mitchell was mid-30s, 30, 32, 35 throws the past like 3 or 4 games. And now he's up to 50 this game. I do believe on those last 2 possessions when they were trying to come back, I think he threw the ball about 15 to 16 times. So that added to it. Mm-hmm. But I still think he was over that 30, 35 range no matter what.
Matt, the Jets are coming up. You played for the Jets. Yeah. Well, what do you expect out of this game?
They have it's going to be a lot of learning that Mitch has to grow in this week to get better because from experience, this defense is a 3-4 defense. That's always confusing to quarterbacks. It's always confusing to running backs giving protection, because you got a linebacker DN that's on the outside and you don't know if he's called down or where the mic point is sometimes, so you might end up on that DN type of guy. And you got Leonard Williams, Pro Bowler, big time guy up front. McClendon is a really big guy up front who is
Jamal Adams
in the back. So their defense is solid.
Yes.
Don't let the record fool you.
Yeah, there were no Pro Bowlers on that defensive line for New England, and I saw a couple times where they got pressure and they got a sack rushing 3. And that's an issue. If they rush 3 and they can get pressure, that's an issue, because they're dropping 8. And now Mitch is trying to fit the ball into smaller places. Mm-hmm. With not much time. So they got to block better, too.
And you know what I'm concerned about is the rushing offense, because we haven't been running the ball, and that defense doesn't give up. They have some stout defensive linemen up there, and their defense is good as a whole. So the ball is going to be in Mitch's hand, and they know that. Nagy knows that.
Is this one of those games? Because I don't know how many times. I remember that year you caught 100 passes. Mm-hmm. Were some of those passes – just extended runs where they just get the ball out to you and just say, okay, this is an extended run. Maybe their run plays, maybe they see it as that. Maybe Nagy sees it that way, where we may not just turn around and hand the ball off, we'll throw a little 2-yard route and that'll be our run play.
If it is, you don't see it enough.
Okay.
I had 102 receptions. So, even through 8 games, I was already at 50-something receptions. Mm-hmm. So, if it is, you're not seeing it enough.
Right. Mm. Right. So
it could be used as an extended hand up.
We're starting to see Tariq Cohen's usage way up over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like he is definitely outplaying as far as snaps.
Jordan out.
Yeah.
It's like almost, why haven't they, tried to get something for him?
Right. I mean, there's some teams out there.
That was the argument this week that perhaps he might be on the trade block. It's something to pay attention to for the foreseeable future on how he is used. Gentlemen, as always, thank you for your insight on the game. The Bears lose. They fall to 3-3, so they're in a last-place tie now in the NFC North, along with the Detroit Lions. We will have great coverage throughout the week, and the Under Center podcast will be helmed by J.J. Stankovitz and John Moon Mullen throughout the week. Make sure you check us out on the Football After Show on NBC Sports Chicago. And if you're listening to this, great. We're very happy that you're doing that. Now, give us a rating.
write a review, tell everyone that you know about this great podcast with incredible stuff from Alex Brown, Lance Briggs, and Matt Forte. For those guys, I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thanks so much for listening.